This edition of the Generations Radio program originally aired in 2010. For additional shows on hundreds of topics, search our archives at generations.org.
Welcome to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director for Christian Home Educators out here in Colorado, but also a pastor and a father of five. And the chickens are pecking outside the window. One of the chickens is looking at me. This brownie looking at me. Well, back to the radio program. We're broadcasting from my basement, safe distance from the demise of Western civilization, at a time when the faith is breaking down, my friends. And a couple of fobs just don't like this. Okay, now, granted, not everybody really is all that bothered by the fact that the Christian faith is dissipating in this country, but those fathers who still have faith are concerned that 80% of Christian kids raised in Christian families are walking away from the faith the first year or two out of the house. That's a problem, as far as I'm concerned. And the Pew Research just told us that Americans are not calling themselves Christians as much as they once did. 51% of Americans call themselves Christians, down from 70% 30 years ago. And we are in free fall right now, folks, a national apostasy happening right now. And there's a new survey that just came out from Ken Ham, and we want to get him on today's program in just a moment. But 1,000 people were surveyed who had attended Sunday school as kids. As it turns out, the Sunday school attendees were more likely to doubt the Bible over those who did not attend Sunday school. So if you attended Sunday school, you are more likely to doubt the Bible. You're more likely to approve of premarital sex, abortion, homosexuality. You'd be more likely to agree with macroevolutionary theories if you had attended Sunday school. What does that say about the church today? If the Sunday school experience produces a population more likely to doubt the Bible and believe in premarital sex and evolution. Well, we're going to talk with Ken Ham in just a moment on that. But, folks, the Christian church is in the middle of a massive apostasy right now. All right. Christianity, the Christian faith is not over, though. Africa and Asia are taking off. But as far as we can tell, Europe and America are dying. And, ladies and gentlemen, there are a few families in America that may survive the apostasy. But not many. Now, there are a few that will really envision their children and grandchildren in the year 2025 still loving God, still believing the Bible, still believing in Christ, still going to heaven. Yeah, we believe that there will be a few left of children and grandchildren. There will be some faith left in America, but probably not all that much. The fact of the matter is, folks, most Americans are going to go to hell. All right, personally, I have more hope for Africans going to heaven than most Americans. Because if I read the prophets right, God doesn't like apostasy very much. And it's happening right now. I told you only 51% call themselves Christians, down from 70% 30 years ago. Well, God doesn't like apostasies very much. And, you know, read the Bible, read the minor prophets, the major prophets. God gets pretty irritated with countries that apostatize, and that's what's happening here. Meanwhile, Africa, Asia are receiving the gospel. And that's the way things tend to work. But there's still a dad in studio here, hanging on to the faith, family, freedoms, the values we get from reading the Word of God and teaching our children these things each day as we sit in our house, as we walk by the way, as we rise up, as we lie down. See, there's some faith left in America. We're hanging on to something here. And I think there's still some hope for this country, thanks to books like Already Gone from Ken Ham. We're going to talk with Ken Ham, why your kids will quit church, and what you can do to stop it. If there's still some modicum of faith left in the listeners on this radio program, please, please listen to this program. There's something that you can do about the apostasy. Well, don't apostatize. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with me.
Ever since the creation of the Garden of Eden, Satan has been working his hardest to erase the knowledge of God and seduce the creatures made in God's image to think that they are the center of the universe. One look at today's society and you see his progress. Humanistic thought has inundated our culture, and we can trace its roots directly back to the classroom and the textbooks we're setting in front of our kids. That's why every Christian homeschool parent should have a curriculum that's not only rock solid academically, but most importantly will point students back to their Creator as the source of all wisdom and knowledge, and to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you've been struggling to find such a curriculum, look no further. Here at Generations, we've spent over 15 years developing our Christian discipleship curriculum to help Christian homeschool parents like you pass on the faith to your children by teaching a God-centered view of life and integrating the Bible into every lesson. Our goal is to not only help you meet your students' academic needs, but also to assist you in discipling your children for generations to come. So get started today with our Christian discipleship curriculum and watch your children marvel, learn, and mature as they embark on a God-focused learning adventure to discover more about the world around them and the one who made it all. You can learn more about our curriculum resources and pick up our newly released fifth grade curriculum pack today at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
Welcome back to the Generations Radio broadcast, folks. Today, talking about the national apostasy. Pew Research recently said 51% call themselves Christians here in America, down from 70% just 20, 30 years ago. But don't get the idea Jesus is done with this world. There's a lot of things happening in Asia and Africa. Things aren't looking that great here in America right now, but that's why we're talking to Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis. Welcome back to the program, my friend.
Hey, it's great to be with you.
Ken, a lot of things happening right now with the faith dissipating in Europe and now in America. What's going on, big picture?
The big picture, we certainly see in our Western world the collapse of the Christian fabric. I mean, right across Europe, Europe is basically spiritually dead. The United Kingdom is basically spiritually dead. That doesn't mean there mightn't be a little active church here and there or even a big church here or there, but from a big picture perspective, we see the United Kingdom and Europe has really collapsed from a Christian perspective. I mean, before the last war in England, over 50% of the population would attend church. Now it's down to some to 5% attending church. And, you know, when I was in England in March, a newspaper headline was from a Muslim cleric who said that they wanted to take England as a Muslim nation. He wanted to see the Muslim flag flying over Downing Street. That's what the headline actually said. So we see some dramatic changes there. And you know, if we stand back and look at the big picture in America, the same sorts of things happening. We see the collapse of the Christian fabric in this nation. I mean, prayer thrown out of public schools, Bible creation basically out of public schools, the nativity scenes, Ten Commandments out of public places, abortion being legalized, the gay marriage issue rife across this nation. We see the same sorts of things happening here. And also, the coming generation, actually George Barna, Lifeway, others, it's been confirmed over and over again, two-thirds of young people are going to walk away from the church. We're losing two-thirds of the next generation from the church.
And but Ken, church attendance still in America, 40-41%. What's going to happen in the next 20, 30 years?
It's going to be like England. We're going to keep losing it if we keep going the way that we are, unless things turn around. And, you know, that's one of the things that we're concerned with, is to find out, okay, why these things are happening, what's going on. And I believe that we have been able to do that through some real valid statistical research using a well-known, highly respected market researcher and behavioralist, Britt Beamer from America's Research Group. I think we have delved into why.
And you surveyed 1,000 people who had attended Sunday schools or had not attended Sunday schools, and your results were just astounding. The Sunday school attendees were more likely to doubt the Bible, approve of premarital sex, abortion, homosexuality, evolution. What? I mean, that just shocked me when I read that. What's wrong with Sunday schools? They're damaging these kids.
Exactly. Actually, the research, you know, we made the statement that Sunday school is more likely to be detrimental to the spiritual health of your children. But before people jump up and down and yell and scream and say, what's going on here, let me explain that. What we did was this. We asked Americans to survey 20-somethings. This is people who at age between 20 and 29 used to go to church as kids but no longer go to church, and they had to come from a conservative church so that we've skewed the results. So these are the best the results could be, actually. And these for these people, actually America's Research Group had to make 23,000 phone calls to identify the 1,000 people. It's a statistically valid research survey. The results interpreted by the head of that group, Britt Beamer, who really understands how to do these things. He's highly respected. You often see him on CNN, Fox News, and so on. He does big surveys for secular groups as well as Christian groups. And we basically asked them, you know, why did you leave the church? What's happened? What's it all about? And we found some revealing things, such as this, which was also a bit of a shock to people. We're not losing these kids at college. We're losing them way before college. We found of these 20-somethings that used to go to church and church, 40% of them are already doubting and questioning the Bible by the end of middle school, another 45% by the end of high school, only 11% in college. We've already lost them by the time they go to college. And then when we divide them into subgroups of those that attended Sunday school regularly as kids and those that didn't, those that attended Sunday school were much worse off, more likely to defend abortion, more likely to defend premarital sex, more likely to defend gay marriage, more likely to be anti-church, more likely to believe in evolution in millions of years. And we believe we know why this is, and we actually put that in the book.
You've got to conclude that going to church just hardens people against God and against His Word. I mean, there's something negative happening in these Sunday schools.
Well, what's happening is, for instance, and one of the research results was also this. Those that went to Sunday school were more likely to have heard a church authority figure, such as a pastor or Sunday school teacher, tell them they could believe in millions of years and evolution. In other words, they're more likely to have heard someone, be what you're taught at public school. And by the way, 90% of these kids from church homes go to public schools. That's a statistic out there in the culture. 90% of kids from church homes go to public schools. Public schools are no longer places where you could say that they have any Christian teaching, except maybe for an odd Christian teacher who's a missionary here and there. But they've thrown God, the Bible, prayer out. They didn't throw religion out. They threw Christianity out and have become really places of atheism, naturalism. But these kids are coming along to church, and our experience has even told us this, but the research certainly showed it up. A lot of them are being told by a Sunday school teacher, well, you can believe in evolution millions of years, that doesn't really matter, but trust in Jesus, Johnny, and it's a major problem.
In other words, they're denying the antithesis in the church. They're not saying the world is an enemy to God. They're not teaching the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. They've got the wrong metaphysic, wrong epistemology, ethics, et cetera, et cetera. They're not establishing an antithesis between the truth and what's being taught in a naturalistic, materialistic worldview in the public schools, and because of that, they've arranged that they taught.
Oh, exactly. And in fact, what they're really doing is saying you can believe what you're taught at school, that's fine. In fact, kids grow up looking on what they're taught at school is real, what they're taught at church is not. And we tend to use the phrase Bible stories, whereas the word story, part of the, you know, one of the definitions of story is fairy tale, and that's certainly how it comes across in today's world. We come along to church, we hear Bible stories, fairy tales. We go to school, we learn real stuff. And, you know, the bottom line with all of the research that we showed was it really came down to a matter of belief, that they're not being taught that the Bible is a historical document. They're not being taught apologetics. They're not being taught how to defend their faith, how to give answers. If anything, they're being told you can believe what you're taught at school, but trust in Jesus. They're being taught spiritual things, moral things, doctrinal things, relationships. But at church, the Bible is not really real to them. It's not really a historical document. It doesn't connect to the real world. And, you know, we're in the real world. We're not preparing them for questions such as how could Noah fit all the animals on the ark, and what about the millions of years and carbon dating? We're not even teaching general Bible apologetics. How do you know the Bible's God's word? Where did God come from? That's missing. And that's what this research found. And if you think about it, most of our Sunday school curricula lacks apologetics. Not only does it lack apologetics, it's not connecting the Bible to the real world. It's just teaching the Bible as an interesting book of stories. Most of our Sunday school teachers, how do we identify a Sunday school teacher? You know, in a lot of churches, it goes like this. We're desperate for volunteers. We need a volunteer. You're volunteering. You are qualified. And they've not been trained to teach. And they've not been trained to be able to answer the skeptical questions of this age. And it ends up being worse off sending your kids to Sunday school. That's what this research says.
Ken, at the root level, I think there's a lack of commitment in the hearts of a lot of seminary professors and pastors to the epistemological authority of the Word of God. They kowtow to the scientists of the day who say, hey, this rock is 4 billion years old. Trust us on this one. And don't have a bottom line, heart level, epistemological authority of God who's able to speak authoritatively because he's really smart. smart, and he's sovereign enough to keep that word extant for his people for all generations. They don't believe that.
You're exactly right. And, you know, one of the things that we say here at Answers in Genesis, and we say in the book Already Gone, the real issue comes down to one of authority. It comes down to biblical authority. And, you know, the battle right since Genesis 3 all the way through, it was basically, is man the authority or is God the authority?
Yeah.
And you remember the temptation back there in Genesis 3. You can become as gods, and you don't have to take God at his word. You know, you can decide truth for yourself. And, you know, Paul warns us in Corinthians that Satan's going to use the same method on us as he did on Eve. And as I say to people, look, when you think about it, you know, in our churches, we will tell the kids and tell the congregation, you know, in most churches anyway, that you've got to believe in the resurrection, you know, and believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and we preach the gospel. But in Genesis, well, that doesn't really matter in billions of years, and who cares, or it's not an important issue. But as I say to people, wait a minute. Where does the message of the resurrection come from? I mean, you don't get it by looking at the creation. You get it from the Word of God. And we take God at his word. We're letting those words speak to us. If it's history, we take it as history. But then we go to Genesis, and we say, well, you don't have to take that as written. We can reinterpret it. And that's the point. We're preaching with authority concerning the gospel, because we're saying the book it comes from is authoritative. And then we go over to another part of the Bible in this era of history, and we say, well, you don't take that as authoritative. You can take man's fallible ideas and reinterpret God's word. And what's happening is that's unlocking a door to say you don't have to take God's word as written, and subsequent generations push that door open further. It comes down to an issue of authority, and you're right. It's the Christian leaders who are not standing on that authority are undermining it. And stand back and have a look for all the Christian colleges in this nation, seminaries, churches, all the Christian work that we do. We have sources right now at this point in history than we've ever had, but we're losing the culture from a Christian perspective. So something is dreadfully wrong.
Yeah, if the older generation wimps out on the authority of the Word of God, there should be no surprise that the younger generation just walks away completely.
Exactly, and that's what's happening. You know, it's that slippery slide of unbelief. And, you know, that's exactly what happened over in England. I mean, you look back at the context in England. In England today, the church is all but dead in one sense, even though there might be a vibrant church here or there. Most of the ministers, clergy, believe in evolution in millions of years. And what happened, if you go back to the late 1700s, early 1800s, when the idea of millions of years was popularized, many of the church leaders in England said, well, we can take that and reinterpret the days of creation. Along came Darwinian evolution. Well, we'll reinterpret the creation account and say God used evolution. Along came the Big Bang. Well, we'll say that God used the Big Bang. And what happened was that they said, basically, well, as regards the history and concerning origins and so on, we'll hand it over to the world. You can believe what you're taught at school and university, but we'll concentrate on teaching the spiritual things and the moral things and doctrine and relationships. The subsequent generations have given up a lot. And over here in America, we've done the same thing. The church has compromised at the beginning in regard to God's word, unlocked that door that man is in authority over God's word, and put them on that slippery side of unbelief. And what's happened in England is happening in America, and for the same reason.
You know, as I read your book, I started thinking, what are we doing in church in America? We're just playing church. Is this a charade that we're doing each Sunday morning? Obviously, it's not creating the sorts of expectations that we expected it to produce.
And you know what? I think we are just playing church in many instances. And, you know, that's not, and I've got to be careful saying this, because I know there's a lot of dedicated people out there and a lot of pastors who love the Lord and love his word. But see, we do the same things week after week, spiritual things, the moral things, the doctrinal things, the relationships. And we're wondering, why are two-thirds of our young people walking away from the church? And what is happening? And why is the church not having impact? Because we basically disconnected the church from the real world. Everything you teach, all of those doctrines, spiritual things, moral things, relationships, they're anchored in the history in the Bible. That history that here at the Creation Museum, we refer to it as the seven C's: creation, corruption, the entrance of sin and death, catastrophe, flood of Noah's day, fossils, Tower of Babel, confusion, and then Christ, cross, consummation. When we teach, we need to be teaching so that we're anchoring what's taught to that history. And then what we need to be doing is teaching our congregations, when we're anchoring to that history, okay, what right now in this day and age is attacking that history, and what are those attacks and the skeptical questions and the accusations? So let me teach you what they're going to be, and then let me teach you to be able to answer those questions so that you will know you can trust the history, you can trust the doctrine that's based in this history, and we're connecting your world, so we're helping you understand the Bible connects to fossils and to dinosaurs, and the Bible connects to tsunamis and every aspect of reality, so that you will understand the Bible's not just some interesting book of stories, it's a real book of history. That's what we're not doing in our churches. Our pastors haven't been trained to do it, and our Sunday school teachers are not trained to do it. But you know, education really starts in the home, and it starts with the parents, and they're not doing it. They've delegated it to others, and they wonder why they're losing their kids.
Well, exactly. As you look at the Word of God, you're not going to find Sunday schools, youth groups, and youth camps and these sorts of things. You will find, teach your children God's Word as you sit in your house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down. That's what God intended to be happening. And if that's not happening, I think we're going to lose the battle in the church.
Exactly. You know, it's one thing to look at the church. I've had a number of people tell me that when they've read through the book Already Gone, they sat down and reckoned, they said to themselves, you know what, this tells me we're failing as parents, because we should be right from when they're born, and we should be teaching them at home. We should be teaching them how to defend their faith. And you know, when you think about it, the family is the first and most fundamental of all human institutions which God ordained in Scripture. And the family is the educational unit of the nation. It's the unit that God has raised up to transmit the knowledge of God from one generation to the next and to the world around. But most parents don't take on their God-given, God-commanded responsibility to train their kids. We leave it up to the TV or the kids down the street, or send them to the public school where it's an anti-God system. They've been trained in an anti-God philosophy for 5 hours each day and so on. And we're saying, oh, our kids need to be salt in the public school. You can't be salt till you have salt in you. The Bible says that. And if salt's contaminated, it's good for nothing. We've got to be pouring that salt in as parents. And that salt of biblical truth is not just teaching them about the Bible, not just teaching them what to believe, but teaching them why they believe. It's missing from our homes.
Ken, I wish that pastors would look into the eyes of the parents of their congregations and say, are you ready to lose 80% of your children to the world in the years to come? Because if you rely on our youth groups, our pastors, our Sunday schools to get your children saved, it ain't working. You're going to have to do this yourself, or be prepared to watch 80% of your children go to hell. I think they ought to say something like that. Just be honest with them.
I totally agree with you. We have been, if I can use the term, pussyfooting around far too long here in the church. We need to say some strong things. And you know, sometimes I think we're worried more about numbers, or we're losing some influential people or some funding or whatever it is. It's about time God's people were prepared to stand on God's word. Where are the Christian leaders in this nation? Where are those that are leading the church and warning them about what's happening to their kids and warning them about the public education system? Because so many parents have their kids in that, so many pastors aren't going to say something of reaction. We have got to come to grips with the fact that every child who is conceived in a mother's womb, who is a being who's going to live forever and ever in heaven or hell, and as parents, we're given a God-commanded responsibility to train up those kids. It's about time those things were being preached from our pulpits.
You know, I wonder how much of it is just a lack of courage sometimes, because, you know, we got to wake up and realize we're in a gigantic war against the world, the flesh, and the devil, and there are ideas out there that will corrupt our children, and we better get out in that war and start engaging the war of ideas and hopefully equip ourselves in that war and bring down those imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God in Christ. It's a war out there. We got to equip our people for that war. I think that's what Sunday's all about.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think courage is one issue. But you know, I think another issue is, I think it's intimidation. I think that for many, they're intimidated by the world. I think that's true of many pastors who love the Lord. board. They're in trouble because they say, well, we're not scientists and I don't know how to answer these questions, and so we ignore it, or we're not game to say anything, but what if what I say is not correct, and I've got some scientists in my congregation and they'll say that I'm wrong and I'm just a theologian because I studied theology and so on. It's interesting, you know, but some of these scientists in your congregation, they'll go up and they'll have a go at your theology by saying you can't believe in six literal days or whatever because of millions of years, and then you're not allowed to speak on science. You know, the trouble is, for many of these people, they truly are intimidated by the world, and that's one of the reasons why we provide resources to help these people, to give them the courage to be able to stand up. And sometimes I think they just need someone to lead them. I mean, people are like that. You know, we're all like sheep. We're all led astray. And I find even our Christian leaders need leading, and they need people to be able to stand up boldly and to be able to say, it's about time we said these things. Look what it says in the scripture about Christ. That, you know, the skeptics of that age and the Pharisees and others, they were astonished at his teaching. The people were astonished at his teaching. You know why? Because he spake as one having authority. And that's what is missing, I think. The trouble is, I think because there's so much doubt in regard to, can we really trust Genesis, and particularly in this day and age, can we really trust this part of the Bible and what scientists are saying? That's why many Christian leaders don't speak with authority, because they don't really believe the authority from which it comes. When you believe that authority, you can speak with boldness.
And I would recommend Answers in Genesis apologetics materials, some of the very best stuff out there you will find at Answers in Genesis, folks. Ken, we just have a minute or two left. What's going to happen? We have a shot at salvaging our faith here in this country. I mean, will the Muslims and the humanists take over in the 20, 30, 40 years to go here, or are we going to fight for some ground?
Well, you know, wasn't it the famous, one of the famous philosophers who made this statement, all it takes for evil to triumph is when good men do? No, that's not a Bible. Really, you know, from a biblical perspective, what does the Bible tell us? It says, occupy till he comes. Regardless of what's happening, we need to stand on the truth. And we should not hold back or shrink back, as the scripture also tells us. Don't be like those who shrink back. And, you know, even though we're a minority, hey, remember in Elijah's day, there were 7,000 that hadn't bowed the knee to Baal. There's still a lot of good people out there who are being raised up, all sorts of things happening. The point is, we need to be faithful regardless. But if God's people don't call the church and don't get back to God's word and stand on God's word, we will lose this nation. We certainly need to call church and culture back to the authority of the word of God. That's what we need to be faithful at doing, and it needs to start right in our own homes.
Amen. And I know you are fighting for every square inch you can get for your King, our Lord Jesus Christ, and I trust that we'll be able to gain some ground in the years that God gives us. The book, Already Gone, the author, Ken Ham. Grab a copy of the book of Answers in Genesis or anywhere on the net. Thanks again, Ken, for joining us on Generations. We appreciate your work.
Hey, thank you.
And folks, this is a critical book. I would recommend that you have a copy of it. It's called Already Gone, Why Your Kids Will Quit the Church and What You Can Do to Stop It. If you care about the faith, for the future, for future generations, I would encourage you, again, to get a copy of the book Already Gone, available, by the way, at our office. If you would like to call and get a copy of this book right now, call toll-free, 877-842-2432. Again, that's 877-842-2432 to get a copy of Already Gone, Why Your Kids Will Quit the Church and What You Can Do to Stop It. Folks, you can interact with this radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. Just a couple of dads, some families here on this radio program trying to salvage something of the faith for future generations. Would you join us again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation?